the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I'm Jeremy Lance. Howdy.
Hello.
How you doing?
Well, we're preparing for our first home game, so yeah. Life is plain crazy.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Have your seats been reassigned on any airplanes lately?
Not yet.
No? Okay.
Not yet. I've not been kicked off an airplane or dragged out of my seats or dragged out of a stadium for that matter.
Have you ever been removed from anywhere?
I might plead the fifth on that. I don't know that I'm willing to broadcast that to the 15 people who listen to this on a regular basis.
When you watch the video of that man being forcibly removed from the flight, did it remind you of times you've had to remove your child from places?
Yes,
like when
definitely.
It's like, hey, it's time to go home, and they freak out.
Except for my children never really reached the point where they stopped thrashing as you're pulling them out of the situation. Like, that guy just quit. He was like, I'm not fighting this anymore.
I'm done.
Like, I've already been hurt enough. My children just keep on fighting. There is no give up. At least you can appreciate that.
They got a lot of heart.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Can't imagine who they get that from.
Fun times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah, you guys got 3 matches in 8 days, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a little nuts. We've got a lot of preparational stuff that we're doing this week, which makes this week extra busy. But next week, I think, is going to be a different level of insanity.
Right.
I don't think I'll be – by the time we record next week on Monday, I don't know that I will have blown my brains out yet.
Hmm.
But maybe by before we get around to 2 weeks from now, like it's actually in play. It's just going to be a lot to deal with, a lot of games coming thick and fast, and it's a lot to juggle.
Speaking of juggling, I did not choose to juggle my lineups, and I'm sure that cost me. Let's get to fantasy.
Yeah, let's do fantasy. Let's start with the Premier League. Hot topic going on here. My season-long chase of catching back up to you after my yearly terrible start in English Fantasy League. And I'm now one place behind you. I improved 4 places to 47th. Now just 4 points behind you in 46 after you fell 2 places. We're coming towards each other. Just a few weeks left, though, to pull it off. So there's time for me to make it up. But there's also plenty of time for you to pull back away.
Yeah. Or flounder.
Either could happen. You are floundering, of course, in the MLS league. You fell 1 place to 56. You are not on the bottom of the table. There is still one person lower down.
Thank you,
person. Then you. I improved 1 place to 39th. 99 problems, top 100, ain't one on top of the rankings for the second week running. Well, back to the English league. Chad Arnett, 6 weeks in a row. Gem City FC still top in the Fantasy Premier League.
What was our leader's name? Sorry, what's happening?
The MLS leader is 99 problems, top 100, ain't one.
It's funny because it's true.
It is true. If you're sorting with associating with us in any respect, there's probably a good chance you're not that great.
Right. Well, so, that.
Sorry for you.
Let's get into the football that is great, and that is our two teams at the top.
Yeah, that's right.
Rolling this week, 2 matches up. We had midweek matches.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with your guys' midweek match.
That's right.
Insanity. Yes. Swansea, just minutes away from... I think it was 85th minute.
Yes.
You guys equalized. Mm-hmm. They had the 1-0 win in the bag, and then they did not.
Yeah, Spurs it's struggling without Harry Kane a little bit. Mountain of possession. I think it was like borderline in the 70s. And just couldn't unlock that Swansea defense. Ultimately getting that equalizing goal. As you said, I think it was the 86th minute is when it actually went in. And then it was like... like someone had let the cork out of the barrel. The goals just flooded out.
It was funny. So I was actually at Ryan House, one of our favorite bars, watching the matches. And when it went 1-1, one of the guys sitting next to me said, watch this finish 3-1.
And that it did. Spurs winning a match that I think in years past, that's the type of match. I've said this a bunch of times this year, but... that's the type of game that Spurs lost in years past.
Uh-huh.
The ones that they shouldn't lose, and they let it slip away from them because they get off to a bad start, and that's exactly what happened in this game, but they kept fighting at it, and this is the difference between this Spurs team and years past teams. they're going to win those games. They're going to dig themselves out of those holes. They've got the mental fortitude to be able to pull that off, and pull it off they did.
And then at the weekend, you guys just housed Watford.
Yeah. Troy Deeney benched in this match. Is Mazzari? I always get this manager wrong. Who's managing at Watford?
Mizuno,
right? Yeah, sure. I think it was Walter Mazzari. Isn't that who it is?
Sure.
Yeah. Benched the captain because he said he was like not physically fit to play, like basically calling him fat, which everyone's been calling Deeney for years, but it's just a really weird time of the year. Like, they're safe. They're not really going to get relegated at all. So it just seemed like a really weird thing. But for whatever the case was, even if it was a tactical decision that he chose, Spurs absolutely just clobbered him. Dele Alli with an unbelievable curling finish that, you know, everyone's been raving a bit about. And it's his 40th goal that he's had a hand in before the age of 21. He turns 21 this week.
Oh, yeah.
That's more than Lampard, Gerrard, and
some beer?
Yeah. That's more than Lampard, Gerrard, and Beckham combined had at the age of 21. So it's a pretty awesome accomplishment.
Well, even Lampard, who's now a TV analyst, said,
weird.
Yeah, he's way better than I was at that age.
Yeah. So just kind of puts him in that light. The other thing, Harry Kane came back from injury in this match, played in the second half. After coming on for a surprisingly improving Victor Jansen. But
yeah, you guys were playing so well, you were able to just throw him in
for
some rehab minutes.
Not a bad time to be alive as a Spurs fan. No team, of course, has had a better 2017 than Spurs have had so far this year. 2.46 points per match compared to Chelsea's 2.17. So,
simple math. And it all started with a win against Wickham.
That's right. It's where you turn your seasons around. Against the Wanderers.
So they turned their season around in the other direction.
Yeah, that's right.
So you guys held serve. Chelsea looked to do the same, and they did Wednesday. 2-1 win over City.
This was billed as a big game.
Yeah, it was, and there was moments where it felt big. I mean, this thing was nip and tuck at certain points. I mean, shoot, it was, you know, it's 2-1, but City had two pretty decent shots right there at the death.
Yeah, they did.
John Stones throwing away both of them. It's Hazard playing really well. Obviously, you can almost tell this is a guy that realizes that the bright lights of Barcelona possibly are calling. The clubs are circling, so might as well put on the show down the stretch here.
Do you think he's really off?
I think Chelsea
aren't afraid to cash in on them?
No.
Yeah, nor should they be.
I mean, listen, as weird as it may sound and as somewhat scary for Chelsea fans as it may sound, I could easily see Hazard and Costa being sold this summer.
Bring in some different parts.
Yeah.
Maybe get a little bit more out of them.
Yeah, bring in like Sanchez and Lukaku and it a day.
No one's going to steal your team golf cart out of practice and roll it around in practice and kick over all the gates and stuff.
No.
Which I'm sure you probably saw that video during the rounds.
Yeah.
He's the dick we all thought he was.
It looked like he was thinking about trying to hotwire that thing, and then realized he didn't know how to.
Yeah, and then someone was like, here's the key. The
keys are actually right there.
Just plug it in.
They're already in the ignition. Just turn it.
Yeah.
So 2-1 win there. That was Hazard getting both goals. And then on Saturday at Bournemouth, and pretty much had their way through this match. I mean, Josh King had his goal to make it 2-1 right before halftime.
10-11 for him, by the way.
Yeah, he's playing well. He had a really nice midweek. Just go ask Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marcus Alonso. Great free kick to seal those points. A guy who's really, like, really flown under the radar in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. You look at both big transfers, or both transfers that they made at the August deadline.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in David Luiz, that everyone's called a panic buy, and then Marcus Alonso, who everyone was like, oh, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
It looked like they paid a lot of money for him.
Right.
Wonder if they spent too much. Both of those worked out really well.
So they did.
So. So worked out well. Mm-hmm. They hold serve. So everything's still at 7 points between the two.
Temp check?
Feeling pretty good. We got United this Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's teams that we should have zero problem. We should be okay, but I'm not gonna count anything.
Not holding your breath at this point.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, as I've been saying for weeks, I don't think there's any chance that we're gonna catch you.
Really?
I'm just not giving myself that hope. I'd be more than happy with second, and as I've said all along, my real victory that I'm looking for this year is just to finish ahead of Arsenal, and it is looking really likely that that's
going
to happen.
Pretty good as mm-hmm. we look at some of the other matches that happen what is in some respects near the top of the table.
Yeah.
Arsenal today rolled out a side against Crystal Palace that should have had no problem take care of business.
Yep, Mesut Ozil and
heard of that guy.
Mm-hmm. Alexis Sanchez.
Yep, heard of them.
Those guys are both in the starting 11.
Yes, they were.
At some point or another, people have ranked them as top players on the planet. Yep. So just keep that in mind. Against Palace, starring Christian Benteke.
Yep, Benteke was there. Mm-hmm. Zaha was there.
That's right.
Townsend.
Yep. And it was Townsend.
Sweat all over my cell phone that I'm holding in my hands and grossed it up.
Yeah, it's
all
right. He one time begrudgingly got off a trash can to take a picture with me. So,
was he Oscar the Grouch? What was he doing on a trash can?
Not paying attention to much of anything.
Did he realize he was sitting on a trash can?
I think it was just there and it was something that he could sit on.
Okay.
So, don't think he was much arsed at all to figure out what it was he was actually putting his arse on.
So he had a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good one, in fact.
Yes, absolutely. And it was one that opened up the scoring for Palace that eventually turned into a 3-0 win for the Eagles. I mean, this is a sign that this is all completely unraveling. The Arsenal fans that had made the trip, they were all chanting things like, "You're not fit to wear the shirt," which I'm not sure if that was directed directly at Wenger or the players themselves, but regardless, these aren't things that are regularly chanted by Arsenal fans at their own players, like for any reason, let alone, you know, piddling losses against Crystal Palace. But I don't know, that this is starting to feel like there's absolutely no way that Arsenal can bring him back now.
I mean, if you're not going to get rid of him now,
when would you?
Like what are you waiting for to happen? Like full player mutiny, you know, all those big names we mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Going to the front office and saying, "Sell us, we're out of here. We don't want to play for this guy anymore." What do you want to happen? That's worse than this. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
How much more down can it go before you go, "You know what? You're right. We probably should make
a need to commit a felony level crime." I think that's the only thing. Arsene Wenger murdered someone. Okay, now we're all right with getting rid of you. Like it's about come to that point. How you can let the entire fan base is starting to turn against him now. I think even the last holdouts are saying like, you know, maybe it is time for Wenger to move on.
Well, and whatever happened to? I know I've made my choice about my future, and you will know very, very soon.
Soon.
What happened to that? Very, very soon.
One.
The oversell of the century.
One, I'd love to hear you do more Arsene Wenger impressions.
Did you like that?
I really did.
A year and a half
of practice
of taking French classes.
Did you decide on the way over here?
Poorly.
Like, hey, I'm gonna go for it this tonight.
Kind of just in the moment, you know, just kind of hit me in the moment.
Moment of inspiration. Soon is so loosely defined these days. I mean,
but
soon,
he put a very in front of
it. Yeah, I mean, very, very soon in Arsene Wenger land, and he's been there for 17 years.
I was thinking,
years.
Like, you know, that was like couple weekends ago. I was thinking, like, that Tuesday, we'd kind of know where we sat.
Everyone kind of thought that was going to be the case,
and like he would be like, "Hey, this is it. This is it for me. This is the end of my season.
Nope.
And my career." No.
He said he was going to be coaching somewhere next year.
Marseille?
China.
Or one of the other, you know, French clubs that want him.
China seems likely. Go and get a big payday. Seems right up Wenger's alley, doesn't it? All these years of financial restrictions at Arsenal, may as well go to China where you can spend whatever you want.
But that's the thing. Like, the board would be like, Arsene, why are you not bringing any players?
I'm trying to make it work with these local lads. Yeah. We're working the academy over. We're so, retooling
This is China. You just,
which is probably ultimately what needs to happen is someone overhauling the academy there. And maybe Wenger's the man to do it. Maybe he's not.
Yeah.
If you recall, he was.
Yeah, who's the man to do it? Jose.
Ooh. He'd love that job, wouldn't he?
Loves a good academy build.
Loves people not understanding the way that he's trying to communicate to them. Regardless, I feel like the clock is definitely ticking on Wenger's time at Arsenal. One would imagine they're currently sitting in sixth place in the table, just ahead of
Everton.
Everton, they're level on points.
They got him on the goal differential by one.
Yeah, by just a hair. And you know, Everton trending up, continuing to pull off wins. It's not inconceivable that they could jump over top of Arsenal as well. So,
by the way, weird thing. If you look at that, so you have Arsenal. Sixth place, goal differential 22. Everton, as we mentioned, right behind them, goal differential of 21. And then the goal differential just falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
On the rest of the table. -2, 0, -16, -12. I mean, then it's just a disaster.
Yeah, wait until we get until the tail end of the table. There's that we're going to be covering
three in clubs minutes. In the -30s.
Ooh, brutal. Let's trip around the rest of the top seven-ish area. Stoke 1, Liverpool 2. Liverpool snagging their league-leading 18th point from a losing position in this match of the season. Not a bad little recovery from them. And again, Stoke, who have kind of – I wouldn't call them sexy, but they're steady Stoke right now.
And not bad for a Liverpool side. They faltered midweek, mm-hmm. Drawing with Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Mane is done for the year.
Yep.
And yet here they are. They're in third place.
That's right. Hanging on to it. Coutinho getting his 30th goal for Liverpool, making him the all-time top Brazilian goal scorer in Premier League history, which is a little crazy. Can you name the previous Brazilian top scorer?
No, I can't.
I was a little shocked by this, but also
Ramirez?
Not. I don't know. He's probably not too far off the top of the table.
Can't be.
Given the Brazilians typically have struggled in this league, but the leading scorer is actually Juninho, formerly of Middlesbrough.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Stretching way back.
Wow.
Free kick specialist. Juninho is like literally one of the best ever free kick takers. If you aren't familiar with his work, go check that out. Also, not the guy playing in MLS. So
not that guy.
Different Juninho.
The Juninho for Tigres. It's not that guy.
Yeah, there's like 35 of them, I think, at least.
It's a common name.
Yeah. But yeah, Liverpool continuing to trend upward. I think they're looking at an improved position for finishing this year, and they're nearly to the point where they've locked in that top four spot. So congrats to them on that front. The other side, just behind them at the table, Manchester City. 3-1 win over Hull.
Right. This of course, that is off the backs of the loss of midweek.
Yes.
Losing to Chelsea. So
yeah.
It wasn't an overall positive week for them.
No, but getting the win that they should get. This was a crazy stat that I found on this. Only Hull have kept fewer clean sheets than City this season. Hull have had one. City have only kept three. Which is a little nuts given this is like one of the elite level teams. Not having that many clean sheets, but that also is a bit of a sign of all the goalkeeping troubles they've had and all the issues they've had along the back line.
Let's jump to a relegation check.
Wait, real quick.
Oh, yeah? You want to talk about some other teams? Everton?
Well, yeah.
What
did
they do?
I don't know. Yeah, they won. Lukaku scored.
That was actually a crazy match.
Yeah. The Leicester match.
Yeah, it was like three goals in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was insane. I was getting ready to leave for my Sunday league match this weekend, which, of course, we won. I'm sure everyone was concerned with.
Yeah. 4-2 in that one as well? Or?
No, I think it was actually 7-1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We were the victors in that endeavor. No, I was going to say United in the David Moyes derby, if you will. Sunderland 0, United 3. Ibrahimovic have a nice timeless finish, although may not be at United much longer. Rumor doing the rounds last week that
LA Galaxy rumors revving up.
That it's done. That's a done deal. Seems a pretty likely destination for Ibrahimovic. Sunderland also look like they are doomed to the drop, and that seems like the perfect way to transition into the bottom portion of the table.
Sunderland, they're terrible.
They are on 20 points, 4 points behind Borough. Of course, they do have a match in hand against the teams ahead of them. Swansea in 28th in 17th place. Borough on 24 points in 19th. And then there's a bit of a jump. So Hull are in 30th, Hull are in 17th on 30 points.
What was that, 30th place? There's no way you're getting out of that.
No, I think actually that's where Portsmouth finished the year they were relegated and had all those points docked. 30 points for them, sitting in 17th. Palace in 16th on 34. Bournemouth on 35 points. And then four teams are on 36 points. Leicester in 11th, Burnley and Stoke. Burnley, Stoke, and West Ham.
Back to Middlesbrough. So draw for them against Burnley midweek on the weekend, and then in the midweek they lose. What would they call it? The old six pointers there at the bottom, mm-hmm. as they get thrashed 4-2 by Hull. Again, didn't serve Hull too well.
No, because they just turned around and got spanked in their own right. But it is a bit of momentum, and Burrow they continue to lack. The inability to score at all this season.
This team confuses me wildly.
Yeah. They just literally can't put it together at all. But this is what's nuts about this. So they're in 19th, 24 points, literally can't ever score, but only have a negative 15 goal differential. When you look at the teams around them, Sunderland below them with 20 points, negative 32, and then in 18th, Swansea with negative 30.
Swansea got the 30 burger.
And then 31 up in 17th as well for Hull. So they got this tight defense. I think Arsenal have actually conceded more goals this year than Burrow have. But they just literally have no ability to score at all.
So it is 7 points between second place Spurs, first place Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
You, not me, but you see that as insurmountable.
Yes.
By the same token, it is 8 points between 20th place Sunderland and, more than that. I'm sorry, 10 points to get into where Hull is at. They're at 17.
They're down.
They're down.
And realistically, with Burrow not finding the back of the net ever, I think 6 points is insurmountable for them as well. So I think those two are definitely doomed to relegation already. I can't see in any way either of those teams rescuing the points. Swansea are the interesting ones. They have a bit of a gap. They do unfortunately have a game in hand against Palace, the next closest side up above them, although they could leapfrog Hull as well. So there's the ability for them to do that, but 6 points would be a pretty tall ask of them as well.
So what if you call it right now, what do you think it's going to be? I think Hull ultimately falls into that 18th spot. I think Swansea survives.
I don't know that
Swansea. But I'm with you there with 20 and 8 and 19. Yeah. Much. That's locked.
I don't know that Swansea right now, they had that bit of a bump when Paul Clement came into the job.
Right.
But they've really not taken anything since then. And you wonder if that was solely a new manager bump that they were experiencing there.
Sure. Honeymoon's over.
Maybe.
All right. Let's go stateside.
Okay.
Little MLS,
mm-hmm.
Full slate of games.
That's right. Everyone was in action, I believe, this weekend. Crew dropping a result.
Yeah, did not win.
In Chicago. That's the first time they've lost to that rival in 4 years. It's been a nice steady run for the Crew, as the Fire have been in what seems like constant rebuilding mode over the years. Bastian Schweinsteiger continuing to look like a decent pickup. Shocker that spending all that money would actually work out.
Did you see the quotes from him where he basically was just heaping endless praise on Dax McCarty?
Yeah.
So he's definitely enjoying that midfield combo that he's got going on there.
Good for him.
Other matches, Revolution get over Houston, who had, other than that, a hot start. 2-0 win there. DC United, a team that looked abject in the opening week or two of the season. They've rattled off a couple wins in a row. Two wins in a row. Big one against a kind of a rival. In NYCFC?
Developing? I don't know.
I mean, I guess what? The Red Bulls were kind of a rival. So I guess both New York teams are a rival.
Sure.
Yeah, it's East Coast.
We'll rope it in right down the highway from one another. Philadelphia falling 1-3 at home to Portland. Portland continuing to bag in the goals this year.
Hey, they're pretty good.
Yeah. I think they're just going to outscore everyone. It's just a matter of whether you can keep up with them or not. Dallas getting a 2-0 win over Minnesota. Minnesota back to earth after picking up points for the first time in the previous match.
Toronto-Atlanta 2-2 draw. The give and go where they just bumps it on to Giovinco.
Pretty classy.
Pretty nice.
When people say that Jozy Altidore is overrated, I a little bit can understand where you're coming from, but guy can do some things that really no other forward in our
goal. Then you go, hey, look at this. So.
Yeah.
Hey, Salt Lake got a win in a game that at one point was just a nice night there in the Salt Lake area.
Yeah.
I don't know what the nickname is for that city.
The Great Salt Lake area?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems likely. I've spent some time out there. It's a lovely city. Everyone's very friendly.
Sure.
Fabulous skiing, mountain biking in the area as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, big win for them. Also the first match for Mike Pecky, now in charge of Real Salt Lake.
The sweater vest was back out.
It was definitely back out.
Well, he might have needed to upgrade that sweater vest because this match ended in a blizzard.
Yeah. Awesome moment. I neglected to see who actually did the throwing of this, but there's a video I've been doing the rounds that actually Real Salt Lake posted themselves on Twitter of one of their defenders going down to defend the ball, and he slips in the snow, and as he gets up, he throws a snowball at the player that he was defending. It was amazing.
That'll get him.
Like, absolutely amazing. As if snow matches weren't awesome enough on their own, now that they're involving snowballs, they're only going up.
Seattle and San Jose. By the way, those, I don't know if we mentioned, 3-0 win there for Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Getting off the schneid there. Pecky. Looking good. That's one.
That's right.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Inclement weather and high-vis ball in your favor, but...
Gotta love the high-res.
San Jose, Seattle, 1-1. And then on Sunday, it was Orlando getting past a... I don't know. Is the Red Bull side, are they struggling? Are they just going for the old Galaxy method of just waiting till June to give a crap?
I knew they weren't doing well, and so I was mostly just watching fan reaction from Red Bull fans that I know and communicate with. And it seemed like they were like they hadn't won a match yet this season, but they've actually gone 2-1-3, which isn't horrendous, but obviously bad start for a team that's got very high expectations year in and year out.
And then in the FU Derby, Sporting KC 3-1 over Colorado Rapids. Tim Howard caught on Vine video, which is still not dead.
Yeah.
Despite reports.
Yeah.
Cussing out some fans that were heckling him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tim Howard taking exception, shall we say, with Dom Dwyer.
Mm-hmm. Yelling at him post-match, wagging a finger in his face.
You hope for Dom's sake that Tim does not have any influence on national team call-ups now that Dom is in that mix.
Yeah, now that he's an American citizen, congrats again to him on that momentous achievement.
Yeah, so they had a little, they got nose-to-nose there for a moment. There was the Tim Howard with some big goalie finger chest poking.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you this much. I would back down from Tim Howard.
So,
Dom Dwyer ain't scared though.
So, hey, that was MLS.
Yeah, that's right.
Shrug along.
But let's stay on the MLS train. This is worth mentioning. MLS expansion.
Mm-hmm.
MLS to St. Louis. There was a vote this past week. Yes, if you didn't know from Jeremy's favorite noise from The Price is Right, that vote did not go well. The public vote in the city of St. Louis, just the city of St. Louis.
But let's talk about it. It's not that the vote went bad. We kind of knew that was going to happen, right? I mean, everything was telling us that was going
to
happen.
Yeah, almost all the previous polls to this point had shown that it was going to lose. And then the big argument that everyone was making was like, oh, but, you know, it's the people from the county of St. Louis, which is a separate entity. Everyone in St. Louis seems to have a opinion on
this. I heard they were just going to make East St. Louis pay for it. They said that's where all the money is.
That's where everyone loves East St. Louis. But reportedly, everyone was saying like, well, all the people from the county are the ones who come to the games. They're the wealthier suburb areas, blah, blah, blah. Reportedly, the internal polling that the St. Louis Investment Group did prior to getting all this stuff put on the ballots.
Was it accurate?
Well, was that the county actually would have failed by a larger margin.
Oh, okay.
And I think both of the studies they had done had shown failures. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. So
I mean, the stadium was going to go where? Downtown.
Yes.
In the city.
Yeah.
Not, so it was going to, as far as like the quote unquote, hey, economic impact, that would have been the downtown. Now, you could also look at the fact that there's studies out there that would say that the economic impact are always wildly over-exaggerated and never live up to what is often talked about in these reports and these studies that these development groups put out there.
There is a bias, of course, that's called whoever paid for this likely will get a positive outcome from that bias.
Yeah.
It's weird. One of the most ardent proponents of stadiums not being beneficial put out an article prior to the St. Louis vote that this one would be beneficial, which really casts a whole lot of doubt into like where you read something and whether or not it's accurate. Regardless, no stadium funding for the MLS to St. Louis group.
Which meant, and this is where it really gets weird, and is really the real news, the investment group basically said, all right, well, then we're done here.
Yeah, that's the word is it's already breaking apart and that they're thrown in the hat already. This is literally purely speculative.
Well, I don't know if you watched. I think it was Jason Davis from XM who posted some of the video of, and because they kind of had like a little rally.
Yeah, that's right.
Hoping to have a victory party. Did not happen. And so afterwards, they kind of got up and spoke. And as Jason Davis put it, it was basically a eulogy for the bid.
Yeah. It felt very much like a...
Because it was just the phrasing was very, you know, past tense of...
Didn't it feel like a presidential concession speech?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're like, that's
because it was just like, hey, this is what we did. You know, we're proud of what we did.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, we're going to keep pushing on. We'll find those fundings, whether it's public or private.
Right.
We're going to make this happen, and we're going to take it all to Washington.
Yeah. Who was that? Mike Dean who did that a while ago? That was literally one
Howard
of my all-time...
Dean.
Howard Dean. One of my all-time favorite political
campaigning moments. There's a great... sidetrack. There is a great 538 documentary on that.
I know. I've watched
that. And you saw it. So it actually pointed out that, like, the reason why he sounded so loud is because that microphone was
all jacked up.
It was a direct feed. The cameras and all the news outlets had a direct feed to what's called like a malt box in the back. So he was in this loud room where he can't hear himself. So he just yells, but into this microphone, it sounds like he just blows out the speakers.
You know something?
He's got that shirt sleeve folded up like it's...
If you had told us 1 year ago that we were going to come in third in Iowa, we would have given anything for that. And you know something? You know something? Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
It's never not awesome.
Yeah!
He just gets into it.
Yeah! He was just feeling it right there. I'm feeling it. I'm going for it.
That guy's like, you nailed that yell.
Win.
You nailed that yell. Yeah, if you weren't old enough to have voted at that point, I'm sorry that we're so much older than you. But ultimately, a hilarious moment in political history that Jeremy just recreated there for us.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Neither do I.
What? Oh, yeah, the St. Louis bit.
Oh, yeah. So
it's not happening.
No, and no one is yelling, yeah.
And we're going to take it to Chesterfield.
So, yeah, a lot of swirling information about what's actually going on in St. Louis and what this means and who's now bumping up in the order, since St. Louis seems to be one of MLS's preferred cities and locations. And, you know, now everyone's scrambling, now trying to find their place in this new world order that potentially doesn't include St. Louis in the equation anymore. So watch as this space continues to develop. There's obviously another public vote going on in San Diego. Things continue to swirl up in Detroit about acquiring the land. You look down in Tampa, they've been making all this noise. We're obviously
because they're involved. Like, hey, we have a stadium. We're just going to put minor improvements because these buildings legally have to be able to see the bay.
Yeah.
So
work that out.
Going to put some seats over there
mm-hmm.
and over here.
But not over there.
And just nothing right there.
It will be a pretty cool stadium, to be fair, I think, when it's all said and done. But
what about the seagulls?
You always have to be worried about the seagulls.
I'm worried.
Mm-hmm. They'll have nowhere else to go. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move into what's not only domestic news, but also North American news.
We are one.
We are United North America.
The United States of North America.
Is this how, like, the mega countries from, like, 1984 got developed?
I don't know, but I did just finished season 2 of Man of the High Castle, and I don't know, some feelings about that. Are
Nazi-controlled North America at this point?
Well, yeah, the Nazi-controlled eastern half, yeah. and then Viva Japón just rocking it on the left coast.
Yeah, I don't watch the show, so
it's very good.
I followed the first portion of it, but
it little inside behind the curtain. DJ is the only person under the age of 50 to not own a Netflix, Amazon Prime, or Hulu subscription.
Yeah, I don't. I really don't watch any TV outside of soccer TV.
Soccer, and then when your wife has what is that show that you made me watch the other day?
Vanderpump Rules. Yeah, my wife loves Vanderpump Rules.
Boy, I've seen some things.
You know, if you've ever worked in a restaurant, there's automatically a draw. It's like the movie Waiting. You kind of love, like, be like, oh, I remember moments like that when I worked in a restaurant. Vanderpump Rules is about people who never stopped working at restaurants, but also are in LA and think they're into something.
See, the Vanderpump Rules vindicates the second half of that sentence that you didn't say. Remember how you worked in a restaurant? Second half of the sentence? And everyone there sucked.
I don't know. I had some fun times working in restaurants. I have a couple friends that I made long term that were restaurant co-workers of mine.
I'm sure they didn't suck.
There were plenty of people who sucked who worked in that restaurant with me.
Just watch the movie Waiting.
I'm not entirely sure that any of them listen to this podcast, but if you do, you were one of the ones I liked.
You're the ones that didn't suck.
Yeah. What were we talking about
again? Still not really sure.
No, we were talking about the 2026 World Cup bid that was announced today.
Yeah.
By U.S. Soccer. Oh, yeah, and Canada and Mexico federations as well. Mexico. Yeah.
So if this was a movie, the star role would be USA. Sunil Gulati in USA Soccer. Supporting roles, Mexican Federation, and possibly really just uncredited extra, Canada.
Yeah, pretty much. This is the easiest thing to point out in this whole, you know, now that we've seen all this unfold, this joint bid between U.S., Canada, and Mexico.
NATO.
the NATO alliance, the North American Free Trade Agreement cup is not, I think, what we would call that. Basically, will be...
Almost entirely.
It's an American tournament where just a few of the games were hosted outside of the country. So there are 80 games total in this upcoming 48-team World Cup, which is still an absurdly large number. So 60 games in the U.S.
60 games in the U.S., 10 in Mexico, 10 in Canada. I think the exchange rate means they only get 8.
I think that's how it works, right?
For sure.
Yeah. They'll just round down the time in those matches.
Yeah.
Like, you only get to play, like, 67 minutes if you play a game in Canada.
So there was a lot of people that threw this out there, like, well, that's, I mean, I understand, you know, America's got a little more infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
I understand we can make this work a little better. So obviously we'll have a few more venues that are ready to roll.
Yeah.
Someone did the legwork on this. Of the why 60-10-10. Kyle Sheldon on Twitter. 50,000 seat capacity stadiums. 50,000 plus seating.
Mm-hmm.
In the U.S., there are 104 stadiums. 104. Basically, every D1 college you've ever heard of, you know, the Horseshoe here in Ohio State, Ann Arbor, Big House. I mean, these are all – I mean, Ann Arbor is, what, 108 or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, it sees a million people. So you figure all those, every NFL stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So in America, there's 104 stadiums that have 50,000 seats or higher.
Okay.
How many do you think are in Canada?
I would guess 4.
That'd be correct. It's 4.
Yeah. BC Place out in Vancouver?
Sure.
Whatever, like...
Wherever that MLS Cup was.
Yeah, but I don't think there's even 50,000 in BMO. I think that's in the 30s. No, I think there, Olympic Stadium in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there maybe the Winnipeg Jets, the or that's the hockey
team. That's a hockey team. And actually, they have the smallest stadium, smallest arena in the NHL.
I think that actually Winnipeg, I think, has like an enormous stadium as well. Yeah. But anyway.
Alouettes. Yeah. That's Montreal.
Whatever the case is.
Winnipeg Mooseheads, whatever their CFL team is.
But yeah, not a whole lot that have that many.
Yeah. What about Mexico?
I would 2?
3.
Mm.
So Azteca.
Yeah.
And then a couple other places.
Yeah, Guadalajara probably.
Yeah, I think where Tigres plays is pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Yeah, I mean,
not a whole lot of them. I mean, and
that's
be honest.
So that's what you're dealing with. So when you say, well, why are they only getting 10 matches? Well, because they only have 3 places that are big enough to hold any of these matches.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad to think that we have to play these type of matches in 50,000 plus seat stadiums.
I don't know if you heard, but the World Cup's a bit of a money grab.
Yeah. Oh, really? I wasn't aware of that, considering they literally sold the last 2 of them. This is the thing that really confused me about this whole press conference too, because they talked a lot about building soccer-specific stadiums, like literally in the actual press conference.
Right. Well, it was weird. Like, they talked about, like, yeah, we'll build some. And then later they were like, yeah, but look at our bid. Like, we don't have to build much. Well, what are we doing then? Are we building stuff or are we not building stuff?
You would have to think that the NFL stadiums that are ready to host would be the ones that would be – the only thing they'd be building would be temporary grass fields
right. On
their turf fields. Maybe Canada would see a couple of soccer-specific stadiums built out of the equation.
I think Canada – Toronto – isn't there rumors that Toronto FC is trying to get like some different place also? Aren't they constantly looking to hop to some new thing?
I don't know. I mean, they just spent all that money to Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, just spent all the money to renovate BMO Field.
Sure.
So they could bring in the Toronto Argonauts and the CFL. But
right. But I mean, the Maple Leaf Sports Group's got money. It costs $150 to sit in the rafters at a Leafs game.
Yeah,
so
a good point.
They're doing fine.
But really the only city I think that could use a soccer-specific stadium, Montreal has a perfectly fine outdoor soccer-specific stadium. And then if they need something bigger, they just waltz over to the Olympic Stadium and play there when they need to. But it's Vancouver is really the only one I could see that would benefit from that. And Vancouver's right. got a gigantic BC place that seems like one of the prime locations to actually host a World Cup match in Canada.
Hey, it's a good enough venue to actually be featured in the current FIFA video game.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is actually in there.
One of a few North American venues.
The funniest thing out of all this was like Sunil Gulati having to say like, no, we've heard from President Trump and he's supportive
Trump's totally
of this.
All about it.
He's all about it. He's on
he
board.
He heard Mexico was in and had a halfy.
I won't take credit for this joke. I'll give it to Jeff Tebbets. I'm not sure if Jeff regularly listens. I know he does on occasion. Big FC Cincinnati fan, but he replied to a tweet that I said about this.
Basically, oh, yeah, you asked this how was people felt.
I did want to know how people felt about Trump supporting the bid. For now, of course, he may very well change his mind by tomorrow.
And again, as I pointed out several weeks ago, he can't be the president in 2026.
Yeah,
won't be him.
We assume that he's not going to try to change the rules between now and then.
I mean,
let's not rule it out.
It's happened before.
That's not a bad point. But Jeff said, great, this is a perfect chance for us to build soccer-specific stadiums and make Mexico pay for them. Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fantastic joke. And maybe something that we can actually pull off.
I mean, it's weird. When we talk about these venues, I mean, who knows? Maybe in, I mean, that's 9 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Some not even MLS team, like a team that's in the bidding process, will build a stadium that'll be fancy and big enough, and then that will be one of the venues.
That'd be really cool. Like, I don't know, in Cincinnati or something?
And I'm sure, you know, when it comes to going, you know, if they get the MLS, or if they get the World Cup bid, they can be like, hey, if we build this real nice, we might get the World Cup here.
But seriously, we're talking about 60 games are going to need to be played.
Yeah, it's a few venues.
It's not unrealistic to think that a town like Cincinnati...
Right.
And I'm not necessarily insinuating that we are or will be, but it's not unrealistic to think that you could spread that around. I think 20 cities could host 3 games apiece. Like 20 cities. It's an insane number of cities.
I mean, we already know where it's going to be. MetLife mm-hmm. in New York.
Yep.
Pencil it in.
Although that field is narrow. Like, I don't know that it's actually FIFA width.
Yeah, but it's like, I see it's like 2 trillion people and it's in New York.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Soldier Field.
Yep.
Put it on the board.
Can I make a suggestion as to where I think the final will be?
Jerryland?
Jerryland's a good bet, but I think there's a bigger media market where they can put one, where a fancy new stadium's being...
Oh, the Stan Kroenke mm-hmm. Empire.
Yep.
Their new dual football stadium that will host... both the Rams and the Chargers.
That's right.
Will be tenants.
Doesn't that seem like the perfect place to play a final?
No, I think you nailed it.
It's the only other stadium that I think realistically is in the running outside of MetLife.
Because that thing will be, what, 6 years old by the time
yeah.
World Cup hits?
The only other place that I think realistically outside of MetLife, and I literally think those are the two options in the U.S. are MetLife and the new Rams /
right.
Chargers stadium.
You can pencil those in.
Is... Azteca, but supposedly quarterfinals on are all going to be held in the U.S.
Yeah.
So, do you like this bid? Are you okay with it? I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm very okay with it.
Yeah.
Listen, when the announcement was made about the 2018 and 2022 venues.
Mm-hmm.
I was devastated that the U.S. didn't get that.
Yeah, I was too.
Because at the time, it was, what, 2011, I think it was?
Mm-hmm.
Or 2009.
Yeah.
2009,
yeah,
right
yeah.
before the World Cup. My wife was pregnant, and I thought, hey.
I'm never going to do anything
yet. Wouldn't it be cool? Like, my kid will be, you know, will be like 10 years old. Oh yeah, I can take him to. I'll take him to the World Cup.
I went to the World Cup as a 12-year-old.
Yeah,
and here I am recording a soccer podcast.
So I was disappointed that I was like, oh, if I could take my son. I guess I got other kids now. They can go too.
They can all go.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about all.
Some of them.
Not everyone's making the cut.
All right. Fair enough. For World Cup tickets that will likely be pricey, that's a wise fiscal decision.
It's a good point. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm gonna take any of them now that you say that.
Yeah, we can go. We can go.
Right. Well, you and I will go.
Yeah, that'll work.
Then spend the money we would have spent on their tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Beer.
Perfect. Live pod?
There we go.
Yeah. Who knows
just if right we'll in
still
the
be. Yeah. So who knows if we'll be still doing this thing then, but I think we can safely say that we should reconvene for a live pod.
Who knows if podcasts will still exist then?
It could be onto something even bigger and better. Right. Who knows where Wrong Side of the Pond will be in that time frame? But no, I think it did seem really far off then, though, too. Like, it was like, oh God, 2026 is the next time we can even get in on this. Like,
mm-hmm. at
the
time, that was 100 years away.
17 years away. Now that I'm 35, it's like, oh man, that doesn't even seem that bad. Like 17 years ago, yeah, I could vote then. But all that said, I'm mostly for this on a nothing but a good front from a federational perspective. The U.S., this was like a way of ensuring that we get the tournament. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, Sunil basically said that. I think it was Goff, mm-hmm. Steve Goff from Washington Post asked him, like, you know, why we have enough infrastructure here in America just to be our own bid. Why mm-hmm. add this? And he goes, and Sunil said, like, because adding these two countries with us and having this joint bid of North America, like, it makes our bid that much stronger.
Yeah. By the way, Europe and Asia, under current FIFA rules, and it's not like they always follow those rules.
Mm-hmm. Those are set in stone.
Are unable to bid on the 2026 World Cup as they are hosting the previous two tournaments, which means that we're really competing against South America and Africa on this thing.
Oh.
South America is literally, like, they saw what happened to Brazil and everyone's like, nope. not doing that. We're not developed enough to handle this. And then Africa is going, you're not developed enough.
Yeah.
Literally the only tournament,
the only country that could have done it
is the one that just hosted it in 2010. So that's most likely not going to happen. So it's likely a shoe-in. We do need FIFA approval to make it happen. But from the other two countries' perspectives, I think both of them were like, look, like Mexico probably could host it on its own.
Probably
could. There'll be a lot of questions about it, the corruption, yeah, the safety, those type of issues.
Sure. Not like those don't exist with, I don't know, the past two sites.
Do you think you're more or less likely to get kidnapped in Mexico or Russia?
Or Mexico or South Africa? Or Mexico or...
I don't think kidnapping's really happening in Qatar very often.
No. I mean, not for you and I. We're not worth anything.
Yeah, if we were from, you know, migrant workers from India or Indonesia or something.
If we were some kind of...
Then we'd kidnap, yeah.
Some kind of oil baron.
Yeah, we're not any of those things. It's good for them. It also makes them a bit more of a united front when doing, like, confederation-type voting issues. They'll probably all be more inclined to work with one another. Love the conspiracy theorists out there.
Oh, really?
The normal ones.
What were they doing?
Losing their minds about this. Don Garber got, like, a shout-out from Alexi Lalas and then Sunil Gulati for being in the room. By the way, it's not like if England were bidding on the World Cup that they wouldn't invite along the president of the Premier League.
Right.
Let's pretend for a moment that wouldn't happen.
He'll be there.
Yeah, Richard Scudamore showing up randomly in Cincinnati. I think in general it's a really good thing. We're going to get a World Cup out of this, which I think is a net positive. I do think there are drawbacks to it, though, real quickly.
Boo!
Yeah, there are always drawbacks.
Boo.
One... Two-team World Cups were already a little bit like, meh. Or, you know, hosted by two countries.
Sure. It was,
who are the trailblazers? South Korea and Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're the only ones who have done
right.
it at the World
and
Cup
the
so
Euros
far.
Apparently
the Euros have done it a couple
basically
times.
Basically do that from now on, it kind of sounds like.
It does sound like they're leaning that way a little bit. The next Euros are actually going to be a crazy all-over-Europe Euros.
Yeah,
World Tour. But we saw Austria and Czechoslovakia, or excuse me, Austria and the Czech Republic. Then we also saw
Ukraine and Poland mm-hmm. most recently.
So you see these joint bids, but I feel like it waters down the cultural experience of World Cups. Like some of the really cool aspects of the World Cups are like how they each have their own tinge from the country that it's being hosted by. The Germany World Cup, she had those massive watch parties.
Right. It was clean and boring.
Yeah, the World Cup in France was all about like experiencing the country of France. The U.S. World Cup, when it was here in 94, were like giant melting pot parties where like there would be big sectors of one fan group and another fan group all meeting together in one bar. It was a really cool experience. I don't know that you'll get that when you have it spread over three countries.
Yeah, I think you lose a little bit of the uniqueness of the cultural influence, but I don't know.
I don't know how much of an impact it'll really have. We're already diluting this thing enough with all the teams that are going to be in it at this point. The other thing that I think is just a little concerning is
Canada's going to actually be in it.
Well, there's that.
Shouldn't be allowed.
Never. But the other aspect is, with Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. not needing to qualify most likely for that tournament.
Yeah, how does that work for CONCACAF? Because we're already looking at CONCACAF's going to have six qualify. That's what the bump up is for this 48 team for 2026. Will be six. So basically the entire hex. If you make it to the hex, you actually are just qualifying.
Well, maybe they'll still keep the hex around for that tournament, just not have the big three participate in it. Or this is the other thing. And my concern as a U.S. fan is, are we going to be adequately prepared for this tournament without having a qualifying campaign to go through? I mean,
we've seen this before where the host club doesn't have to prepare properly. Brazil. And they're not ready.
Yeah, or South Africa, who maybe didn't even get out of their group.
But I think, I we don't really know what this is going to look like because it's a three national team venture. How is that going to work? Are they going to factor those three into the qualification? So, you're certainly not going to let nine CONCACAF go.
No, I don't think that'll be what it is. I think
it's going to be three other teams are going to. So they have to change that qualification.
Well, I just think maybe you do the hex without the big three. I mean, that's possible. Or they participate in the next. The top three finishers, excluding them. Get to be the ones who go through. I'm not sure exactly how it's all going to work, but. It is pretty interesting. And I think it sets a dangerous precedent for FIFA. What happens when four countries want to host a tournament together? Is that kosher? Do you let all those people into the tournament as well? It's weird. It's a very dangerous thin line that they're setting for themselves. But all in all, I don't really give a damn because we're going to get a World Cup out of it. So hooray.
Yay.
I think that means we're at winners and wankers.
You're a winner.
My winner this week, I'm giving it to U.S. soccer, not because of all this World Cup business.
Uh-huh.
They settled the deal with the women's national team.
Yeah.
It was such an ugly thing to be hanging over our federation. They've not released a whole lot of information about it, so I'm just going to assume
it's not terrible.
That it's not terrible for the girls, and that they actually got a lot of what they were asking for out of it, because I think that's a fair thing to have asked for.
Speaking of U.S. soccer and CONCACAF and women's soccer, did you see an interesting tweet from Coach Sheck, who is the coach of Puerto Rico women's national team?
Yeah.
Actually employed a couple guys we know.
Mm-hmm.
He shot this off during the press conference today. It's worth noting that CONCACAF has news about 2026 World Cup bid, but no news about CONCACAF women's competitions, which begin in 5 weeks. one step forward, two steps back for women's soccer and CONCACAF.
Well, look, I'm not going to knock that statement. I think it's a fair assessment, but maybe, I don't know, some of these other countries spending money on their women's teams would be a place to start.
Could help.
With all that. So just food for thought.
My winner.
Yeah.
CF Boreal of the Spanish 4th Division.
Okay.
Pretty good weekend for their president and chairman.
Oh, yeah?
He won the Masters. Oh. Sergio Garcia is the president and chairman of 4th-tier side CF Boreal.
I'm guessing his hometown team or something like that.
Yeah, must be, but he is the president and chairman of the club. And,
so is that automatic promotion? Is that how that works?
I actually looked at their record this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're terrible.
Okay, good, good. Are they going to be sent to the fifth division?
I don't know. I don't know how many points the Green Jacket earns you.
Mm.
I'm going to say zero.
Have to wait and see.
I hope for 20.
Good for them.
So good for him, and yeah, good for me to shoehorn
the
Masters.
Shoehorning the Masters into this one, yeah. Well done. You're a wanker.
My wanker.
Not you for shoehorning that in.
Hails Owens Town of the seventh tier in English football. Their match was delayed, and I get it. It's cute. It's neat. But it's also kind of ridiculous. The match was delayed 6 minutes because a beagle was just hanging out in the pitch. And they just couldn't get him off. He was just having too good of a time.
Having a good time.
Just enjoying himself. Just checking, sniffing stuff.
Where was this?
This is in England. This is seventh tier.
Not very often you hear about that in
Hales
England.
Hales Owens
Town. This seems way more like something that happened in Italy or Spain. Although you say that, we've had the chicken moment at Portsmouth a few years ago. The cat at Anfield.
Right.
And then there's the team. Oh, it's here in the U.S. that there's the raccoons at DC United.
Right.
Yeah. DC United actually sells stuffed animal raccoons in their team shop.
No. When in doubt.
It happens everywhere.
Just make a kitschy, you know, brandable gimmick of the fact that you play in an abandoned stadium.
It is a little weird. We've given out a lot of obscure winners and wankers this week.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to keep that going with the ball boy, and I say boy loosely here. This is a man, actually. And the Corinthians and Universidad de Chile Copa Sudamerica match this week. This man is trying to give a ball to the visiting Universidad de Chile player. The ball guy drops it like just over the advertising boards. The guy is annoyed that he didn't just get handed the ball, and he kind of like just shoves him a little bit for being like, what the hell? And the fan the ball boy proceeds to simulate a foul behind the advertising boards.
Like he took a dive?
He took a dive. And his dive that he chose appeared to make it seem like he was given a heart attack from that touch.
Well,
grabbed his chest and then fell to the ground. It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible.
Red Fox doing the ball boy work?
Sadly not.
Having the big one?
It's ridiculous. You almost have to see this. I, of course, will pull up the video for you to kind of show you the depths that some Brazilian fans will go for their teams. Really knows no bounds at all. So take a look at this.
Okay. So it goes over. I need that ball. Picks up. And then, yeah. As if he just slow-mo harpooned to the chest and
yeah,
then down.
Yeah, that's what happened. So screw you, grown man taking a dive. Arguably, maybe the kid from Swansea a few years ago that Eden Hazard kicked. Just growing up.
Yeah, I guess that's it for us.
That's the show this week. No questions or comments solicited from you, so we're not going to take any. But if you want to send us a question or a comment, you can get us via email. I still read those from time to time. Contact at wrongsideofthepond.com. Hey, I answered one of yours this week.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Contact at wrongsideofthepond.com. You can get us via email. You can get Jeremy at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. Me at wrongsideofpond on Twitter as well. Yeah, that's it.
If you live in the Cincinnati, Dayton, Indianapolis, or other areas, and you're interested in playing soccer?
Gotham soccer
know.
It is.
Let me know.
Yeah, I hope you have.
We got some openings coming up.
All right. See you, kids.